when you're trying to help someone is that they have to take some accountability, right? They have to be honest. They have to be honest. One of the things when I contract with clients is that if you plan not to be honest with me, we're not going to get anywhere. And I understand that being honest might take a while, but honesty is the only way we can make this happen. And on a scale of 1 to 10, where are you on a readiness to change? And if you tell me you're in a 5, then I will know what I need to do. If you tell me at a 10, then I will know what I need to do and have you sign a contract to say, this is what I'm going to do because I'm at a 10. So the only thing I would do maybe is a little bit more prescriptive. You ask about why people don't seek help. A lot of reasons why people don't seek help. There's shame. There's embarrassment. There is guilt. And all of these are some of the emotions we talked about. There's a sense of, I don't want anybody to know my business because, and that finds its root in shame. You know, a lot of shaming unfortunately happens in our world because we have a certain way to look at healthy people and we have a certain way to look at unhealthy people. And we get fed up very quickly with unhealthy people, and unhealthy people know that they're being stigmatized. And so they tend to develop a wall, right? They tend to develop, because they know, they tend to develop a wall against people trying to help them. Some people try to help other people because they want to feel good about themselves, but they're not genuinely interested in that individual. You know, life is not intended to be complicated. And one of the things, the first thing that I think as human beings, we struggle with is change. We struggle with change. Change is not something easy for any one of us to adapt to. It has to be an intentional process to adapt to change. And, you know, they're saying that there are 5 different types of changes that we go through in life or that we're exposed to. We have straightforward change, like when we're trying to buy a new car or change our hairstyle. We have change number 2, which is like changing a golf swing or changing something you already know but relearning it. Then change number 3 is changing something that obviously needs changing, but you either don't want to or you can't quite see how it could be done. So this kind of change usually involves like a habit, somebody who, for smoking, for example, they want to stop, but they can't seem to stop. Then we have change number 4, which is changing about something about you absolutely, which is about a belief. Positive, no, you can't change. It's about beliefs. The 4 type of change ask us to change a point of view about something. What do we think about homelessness? What do we think about police brutality? What do we think about what's happening in the United States? This is a 4 type of change. It can easily tap into our insecurity. We can develop a feeling of unsureness, a sense of not knowing what's the right thing to do. And there's no longer a predictable, reliable pattern to follow. We can say some of the changes that's happened that's creating the unrest is that there's no predictability to an expectation of how police law enforcement should behave. And now there's a deviation from that. And because there's an expectation that law and order acts a certain way, and you're not acting a certain way, there's a change now in how people are responding to law and order at a very simple level. I'm not going into all the other, you know, layers and layers of issue, but at a very simple level, reaction-based, humanistic, animalistic reaction comes from these things that we have an expectation of to happen, and they don't happen. And then change number 5 that we're talking about is the one that's happening right now. And this is change that is imposed upon us. Changes imposed upon us over which we feel like we have no control. This 5th type of imposed change can often feel like suffering. If we have no say in the matter, we feel like it's being done to us. We can feel cheated or hoodwinked. Even those who instigate it will disown this type of change. We have no choice. And I think if we're talking about, you know, what creates this kind of thing is the adaptation. Adaptation to changes, when changes are happening as fast, so quickly that we can't adapt to them in time as they're happening because A, we were not ready for this kind of change. This type of change always feel like, somebody always feel like they're being cheated. Like somehow life is playing this ruthless game with them that nothing they do turns out right. And so this is where that can be more difficult and it can be more challenging for people to adapt to. And you have physical reactions that happen to people when you have imposed changes. That's why refugees, that's why we see in certain settlement issues around the world why people, we have so many challenges with refugee population as well, because many of them didn't want to leave where they were, right? Things change overnight and they had to adapt and adjust. So some of the physical reactions are disorientation, insomnia and nightmares, heart palpitations, chest pain, changes in appetite, lack of energy, exhaustion, headaches, back or neck pain. And this is all symptomologies of change, right? So we're talking about change. We're talking about COVID-19. We're talking about, you know, what provoked someone to end up the way they ended up, someone we know and someone who we thought had a zest for life, regardless of the challenges, who we never anticipated would have taken this turn. But some behavioral things, the difficulty concentrating, difficulty making decisions, bad decisions being made, short-term memory problems start to happen, poor attention span, making errors, reluctance to work, tendency to overwork, so either or. So those are the physical reactions and the behavioral reactions. I mean, somebody's life is, all of that is happening with them at any moment, you know, and the situation COVID-19 is just adding that layer. And then we have a sort of a civil unrest happening right next door based on, you know, law enforcement, abuse of power. You know, people are starting to feel that they don't have any power and they have to adapt to whatever changes is happening around them to survive. And that's a very hard thing for people when your life changes drastically. You move from A to Z. It's not an easy adaptation for people to adapt. And that's why wraparound and support is so important.
My question is, which changes is always good, but how do we encourage change? And what are some of the steps used for change?
First, we have to address the loss, right? Because with any change, there's losses, right? And oftentimes as a society, we're so invested in production. We're so invested in being productive. We're so invested in the next task that people don't take time to grieve. What am I losing right now? You know, we are loss of control. People have lost control. Some people have lost identity because people's identity oftentimes was getting dressed, getting in their vehicle, driving to work, right? People have lost that sense of identity. A lot of people are unemployed by reason of an accident or something happening in their life that removes them from employment. They have lost an identity because an identity was already wrapped up in maybe going to work or how they function in life for others around them. Part of their identity was what they did. Loss of a sense of security. That security is, I don't know what tomorrow holds now, right? Is the economy going to go into a slump? Are we going to get, poverty are going to happen? So loss of the familiar. The familiar is not going to be familiar any longer. And loss of maybe relationships too, right? We could have gathered around, you know, in the office, have a little chat, right? Maybe we haven't talked to some of the people we would have said hi to since COVID-19, right? So what's going to happen to some of those relationships? So what are the steps? The first step is to identify what we have lost. You know, when we're acknowledging change and loss, we have to look at the opportunities as well. We cannot, when you're grieving loss, part of how you know you have landed at place where you are dealing with the loss is that you're looking at opportunities, right? If somebody is always talking about the loss, it means they're stuck. Right? If they're always talking about the good old days, if they're always talking about the yesterdays, if they're always reminiscing about what they had and what they didn't have and where they're at, it means there's a stuckness that they haven't grieved that to embrace what is new. Maybe look at the gains. What am I gaining? You know, people get their heads stuck in the losses, but am I gaining? I don't have to commute, you know? I'm gaining, I don't have to get clothes to go to work. I'm gaining because I don't have to get lunch money. And money can be put in a pot. And then at the end of the week, I can see how much money I've saved, right? So sometimes we have to look at the small wins, what the freedoms we have gained. What personal growth, you know? I mean, there's on one side, there's an increase in violence. On one side, there's an increase in relationships getting better. So people being able to understand, what am I gaining as a result of it? Am I gaining new relationships? Am I gaining new way of doing business? So you have to balance the two, what I'm lost and what I'm gained. Because if you stay in the loss, then it means that you're not moving forward. And if you're just about the gain, it means you're disconnected from the past in that you're not acknowledging that there's a huge shift and a change. So I would say those are some of the first things to do. Anything in life, any change in life, I'm not just talking about COVID-19, anytime, any change is we go through,